Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Hi, I'm Bill Shear. It's great. What a great time to be in this church, to be a Christian, to be in right standing with God. Aren't you just appreciative that you're, and listen, we're not trying to be right. We're in right standing. So we don't have any axe to grind. We don't have any true point to make other than, you know, people that come in here, people that watch on the internet, they come in here and they have needs in their life. And I believe that we're too often rude in not identifying those needs. And they're just basic. There's probably a half a dozen basic needs that people come in. People come in, they have a need, they just need help. And man, we'll say, yeah, we'll give you Jesus, man. Hold it. No, I didn't say I needed Jesus. I just need help. People come in and they'll say, man, I need comfort in my life. I need some help, or I need some comfort. Well, we all know that the Holy Spirit's our comforter. But you know what? The people coming in, they're blinded from the truth a lot of times. People that we run into, people that we minister to outside of the church property, and people that just need help. And man, we're not here to jam Jesus down their throat. We're here to help them. But you know, that we all know that the only answer is Jesus. The only true help that we have is Jesus. That people say, man, I've got so much debt in my life. I've got credit card debt. I've got school loans. I'm upside down in my vehicle, or I'm whatever. Man, we all know about the redemptive heart of God, that he pays the price for us. Man, he paid the ultimate price for our sin. But he also, listen, all my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, we have answers. But I think that what we have to do is we've got to be careful about our vernacular. We have to be careful about how we communicate it. Man, we have to season our words to where we really truly value and honor the hearer of it. I know, man, I'm a culprit in this. I bought in, man. I put such a premium on God's word, such a premium that it's like I can't. That's the only answer I have for people, and I don't want to cut people off with that. You know, there's a way for us to make this point, a way for us to live our lives. And man, I've been held captive by a couple verses for the last bit of my life here that it's hard for me to even get away from. That, you know, I planned on preaching today about in regarding just next steps and on ramps in life, and in those next steps that we have to take care of the little things. It's the little things that matter. But you know, that's kind of going to be dealt with a little bit today and then next week, because today God's word has honestly, I don't know another way to put it. It's just apprehended me. It's just kind of held me captive. And that, man, there's people that, man, they need healing. Man, I need some healing in my life. My heart's broken. Man, I need some help with my broken heart. We all know Jesus is the answer. See, the idea of this is that all of us are born with a, you know, we could say we're all born in sin. And it's interesting because in that, you know, we've got a little baby that baby hadn't done anything, but that baby has the capability now in his life to sin, but he's born with a God-sized hole in his life, in his soul, in his heart. And see, and that's the issue. That's the true need that people have. It's just hard to identify that because people are blinded from it. Man, people, you recognize people where it's like, man, this is a simple deal. If you just take care of that God-sized hole in your heart, man, I'm telling you, you'll be set free and you'll be able to see what you really need. Because they're just perceived needs. The bottom line, the way I look at it, man, people have a want in their life, which they could probably translate as a need. People have a want in their life to be known and needed. You know, it's interesting because, man, and that's what church is. That's what the body of Christ is. That's how the kingdom is made up. That there's no comely or uncomely parts. There's no people that you're, if you're in here and Jesus is Lord of your life, or if you're in here and you're truly hurt and you just want help, man, that's most people. Man, you're qualified. Man, God wants you in his family. God wants to take care of you. But with that God-sized hole that people have, the devil is going to try to deceive them into filling that hole with, man, if I just had a husband, if I just found a husband or a wife, if we could just have kids, if I could just get rid of my kids, if I just had a different husband or wife, but that's just the deception of the enemy. Man, there's nowhere in the Word that God's Word says you need another wife. There's nowhere it says get rid of your kids. I mean, but the deceiver will make it so, like, that's just the answer. And you know what? Man, what we've got to do is we've got to get people we have to get people into God's presence. Because whether you're a Christian or not, in His presence is fullness of joy. They get into His presence where there's fullness of joy. It's a game changer on what they see. It's a game changer on how they feel. And you know what? That holds true for me in my life. Man, if I told you the attacks of the enemy in my life in the last few days, you'd probably laugh and go, oh, come on, are you kidding me? Because I realized, I got a text from a friend of mine, Rick Godwin, who's a pastor in San Antonio. He's half crazy, but he's 70, so, you know, you get older, you're allowed to be, I think, or something. But he texted, he said, you know, people don't care that your dog died, they care that their dog died. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so accurate. And see, and that's what people are coming in. People are coming in, and we have to recognize their dog just died. We have to recognize, I have to recognize in here that you're dealing with things that's paramount in your life. Such an issue, there's such a demand for it. But the bottom line is that gaping hole that's in our souls that only Jesus can fill. See, and I look at it because it's like, and especially with our media today. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, probably till I was 12 or 13, I had heard, I'd experienced one tornado that I even cared about because I heard it. I can tell you to this day, I don't remember how old I was. I was before I was a teenager, I just know that. I was 8 or 10 or maybe 11 years old, I don't remember. But it sounded like a freight train. And the house shook and the ground shook and it was just, oh my, it was the most awesome, and I don't mean that in a good way, thing I've ever been around to that point. But it's interesting because in the Word in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 10:25. The Bible says, when the whirlwind or the tornado passes by, the wicked is no more. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. You know, now it's different. Now, of course, we use terms like Tornado Alley, and there's things. And I grew up just outside of St. Louis, so tornadoes weren't like they are in this part of the country. But you know, that's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about a tornado. When a tornado hits a community, the wicked are no more. It's like we're all running to God. It's just, but it says, listen, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. That's the true course of life. Tornadoes are gonna, I mean, it's gonna happen, but what we have to look at is that, man, what's our foundation? And really truly our foundation becomes, man, the life of faith that we live in and who we are and trusting God. Even if men are people or an organization or something, your team disappoints you. Man, it's the maturity that we have, the sufferings of Christ is, how do you deal with the disappointments? Man, the disappointments, what do? Do I hit the eject button? The disappointments, do I just unplug? Do I take a sabbatical because I'm disappointed? How do I handle this? How do I do this? See, that's truly the sufferings of Christ. How long do I have to be with this generation? And he referred to them as a perverse generation. You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, we've got to get it by now. And this is where I'm going, where the Word has held me captive. Where I'm not trying to make this personal. I'm just telling you personally, man, I've got a word of the Lord for you in here today, but also the Word, what the Word is doing in my life, it's arrested me. It stopped me in my tracks. And you think about it, that your foundation here, that everlasting foundation, is where your faith steps. See, this isn't this leap of faith. We're not stage diving into the abyss for God. That's not what this is. It's steps. But listen, the righteous in right standing with God, you take that step. And you put that verse back up, Proverbs 10:25. It says, when the whirlwind comes, and then it says, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. And the steps, listen to Joshua. Here Joshua was and had a huge mission and cause in his life. And all he was surrounded by was disappointment. Man, they sent 12 leaders of the tribes, and 10 of the 12 came back and said, not a chance. I am not buying in. I am not signing off on it. Well, he had to stand there and look. But you go back to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, the first chapter. You go back to his foundation is Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now think about this. Every place. It doesn't say true north. I mean, really, honestly, there's nothing here you have to dissect or figure out. I mean, here's Joshua, and God saying, look, every place, you possess it. And then he said this. He said that your foot, listen, will tread the future steps of your life. See, that's what faith is. Your faith, where you are, your foundation, that everlasting foundation, is going to determine. It's going to determine the steps that you take. Because it says, every step that you take, he said, is yours, your foot. And he said, that I have given you. So it's future tense in the steps that we're responsible for, but it's past tense in what God's been responsible for. See, this isn't a promise that God is making to you that you'll be able to, hey, look, I'm gonna allow you to possess what you're. No, he said, I've already promised it. I've already given it to you. You just take the step. It's yours. See, that's the sure faith that we have. And yet you understand, here's Joshua, that Joshua defeated 31 kingdoms. Man, you go through and you read the book of Joshua, you read the kingdoms that he overcame and the kings that he beat. Man, it's tongue twisters. I am not going to dare chance it in front of all you guys. Reading through it. It would take 10 or 15 minutes to read through the 31 kingdoms, the 31 kings that he had to beat. He subdued 31 kingdoms. In my life, let me just tell you, I've got some issues. I don't know that I've got 31 major issues in my life. You'd have to go to the Manson family or something to find people that had those kind of issues. And here's Joshua. But what did God say? He had to defeat 31 kingdoms, defeat 31 kings, 31 armies. And then he had that sure word of faith. Everywhere the sole of your feet tread, I promise you, it's yours. He was unstoppable. See, you think about that. You look at his life. He said, I promised it, not just to you, but to Moses. Do you understand that we're all living, you're living right now in a blessing that someone else had to overcome something for you to live in the blessing that you're in right now? Man, we could make this personal, and we could talk about the church 25 years ago in this church. Before it was a church, it was a price that had to be paid. 22 and a half years ago when we started, a price had to be paid. 5 years after that, a price had to be paid. A couple years after that, a price had to be paid. And 15 years ago this Easter, a price had to be paid when we bought this property. See, there's always a price that Moses paid. That now Joshua reaps a benefit. Notice this verse, as I said to Moses. See, now it becomes personal with Joshua. Man, I'm telling you, Joshua could sit down for hours with you and talk to you about the leadership and about the mistakes and about the disappointments that he had with Moses. But you know what he didn't? Because he had a sure word of faith. What he had was, okay, let's go. You ready? We're gonna try this. But then, you know what? Where your foot lands... See, the way this is, your foundation is where your faith steps. Man, don't make it a play on words. Take it at face value. The foundation of your life is where your trust steps. It's not where you, it's like, okay, this is my place right here. No, this life, this faith that God gives us is designed, are you ready? For you to be mobile, for you to grow. Every step that you take, what happens? You possess that land. So what happens to the kingdom now? The kingdom goes like this. The kingdom is enhanced. The kingdom is enlarged. Why? Because we're taking steps of faith. See, the way God's looking at it is the earth's the Lord and the fullness thereof. Wherever you go, it's mine. Go, you're my son. See, that's how Joshua looked at it. 10 of the 12 spies didn't. See, we've got to think about our lives. We've got to think about the steps of our lives. The Bible says that our steps are ordered of the Lord. Man, that God truly orders our steps. So when I look at it, I'm dealing with the persecution, or I'm dealing with the things in my life that where the devil's trying to deceive me, because, man, when I get my eyes off of Jesus, that hole reappears in my soul. See, it's not something that once that hole is filled, that you're good. What are you going to do? I'm going to skip through life. That's what I'm going to do. Child, get here. Skip for me across the front here. I'm going to skip through life. That's going to be my life right there. You know what? I gave my life to Jesus. Hey, let's all skip through life. No, let me just tell you something. You're skipping until that wrecking ball hits, until that tornado comes in. See, God hadn't called us to skip through life, and God hadn't called us to take leaps of faith. What's he called? He's called us to take steps of faith. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Man, I'm in a place right now. I know I got to take a step. I just don't want to. It's still a step. And I don't know that God is measuring our steps. I don't know that God's looking and saying, you know, the steps that Joel's taken, they are so much smaller than the steps that Bob has taken. I think I'm so disappointed in the little baby steps that Caitlin's taking. See, I think all God cares is that we are mobile in this, that our feet aren't here and all the grass is dying under us. That what are we doing? What are you doing? Man, I'm walking with Jesus. What are you talking about? You're not making up any ground. I got something for you. It's not anybody's business, the ground you're making up. You hear me? Are you listening to me? All that matters is that you're mobile, that you're taking that new ground. What if it's an inch at a time? What if it is? See, I think that what we've got to understand now is that the whole idea of this is that we're taking those steps. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, 33 and 34, it hijacked my message today, these two verses. And there's preceding verses from here that carry it out, but these two verses have I got a plan, God. God, I've got a message for today. It's about being faithful in what's little. Man, I want to let people know that you'll give them plenty. You'll put them before great men. You'll give them much. But you know what? That's going to have to be next week. Because this week, God, I'd love to tell you God directed me. I'd love to tell you that I had this epiphany. I'd love to tell you that these angelic hosts filled my study and God said, Hey, I need you to speak on this. It didn't. What happened is God took his hand and grabbed a hold of my heart. And I'm like, shoot. Who through faith, in my Bible, I've got a note on the above that, who through steps of faith, okay, or the stepping of faith, or the mobility in my life of faith. Because what the enemy wants to do, if the enemy wants to constrict you, the enemy wants to paralyze you, the enemy wants your mind to get so analytic that you can find all the little breaches and all the little miscuts and all the little cracks. But it just hit me that hole in people's souls. That's what we're here to do. We're here to help them just identify there's a hole in my life. That's why I'm trying to fill it with all this outside stuff, and the only thing that can fill it is Jesus. You know, the only thing that can fill it, and I'm looking at Hebrews 11 and verse 33, who through faith, or who through steps of faith, And five of the seven of these are going to be manly. They're going to be macho. And they're the ones we, our eyes hit and we gravitate toward. But then the two are the ones that are vital, the two that we skip over. Subdue kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Man, we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he has to flee. We turn to flight the army of the aliens. Became valiant in battle. Man, we're the head and not the tail. Man, we're strong and we're courageous, and that's what the fibers of our being is that. That out of weakness we're made strong, that in our weakness is made his perfect strength. It's all the promise of God that's coming out. Who escaped the edge of the sword because we have the weapon of our warfare, that the words of our mouth, the word of God that comes from us, man, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Quench the violence of fire, that the violence of fire, you grow up, everybody's heard this expression, you fight fire with fire, and our God is a consuming fire. And so what happens is the fire of your life, whether it's alcoholism or drug abuse or porn or your sexuality, if you're burning in lust, that what happens is our God is a consuming fire. What it does is it pulls out all the oxygen of that other fire and puts it out. That's our God. He's a consuming fire that stops the violence of the fires that are in our life. Stop the mouths of lions. You know, the devil is as a lion seeking whom he may devour. And you know, I've heard there's a theory that I've heard, and it sounds like one of those things that's probably accurate. I don't want to test it. I would prefer, and I decided at 9 o'clock that I'm sending Chano to Africa to test this theory. All in favor of sending Chano to Africa to test this theory, say aye. The eyes have it, Chano, again, and we value you, but Chano's probably tasty. And the theory that I've heard, Brad, is that a roaring lion isn't the lion you should be concerned about. In a pride of lions, when one is roaring, it that's not the one to be concerned about. So what I say is we send Chano to Africa and drop him in a pride of lions, and the one who's roaring, we'll have him run at that one and see what happens. And I think it'll be okay because I've heard a theory, and I haven't heard of that. But the enemy's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, yet he can't devour you. Can't. It's impossible for him to. He just wants you to submit to him. Subdued kingdoms. Man, the kingdoms of this world, that the prince and the power of the air, that the name of Jesus and the word of God subdues. That word subdues is a wrestling term, like it pins and chokes those kingdoms. But the two that I left out are the two that I want to approach today. The two that I left out was worked righteousness and obtained promises. And this to me fits the church. It fits the organism of the church. People coming in that don't know Jesus. People coming in that do know Jesus and are committed to him, that are living their life for God. See, there's two kinds of people. There's probably schools of thought out there that I don't subscribe to, that the church is for Christians. It's for people to be trained up. It's a training center. It's a teaching center. It's not for unbelievers. It's not an outreach. I don't agree with that. And then there's other people say, we got to do everything with the guest in mind. Man, we have to do everything for the unbelievers. And I don't subscribe to that too. I think we have to do both. I don't think this has to be a dichotomy. I believe that there can be a harmony in this. And the way it becomes a harmony is that we work righteousness. That's the Christians. That's the people that know Jesus, that are committed to God. What are you here to do? Work righteousness. Live righteously. Okay? But obtain promises. If you're living righteously, you've obtained the promises. They're yours. That's how the whole thing's designed. That's the trip. That's the trigger. But if you don't know Jesus, you need help. You need comfort. You need healing. You need debt reduction. Man, all of those things, man, I can answer, and it all makes up who God is. And that's obtaining the promises. That's our role now. That's who we are now. We live righteously. and we help as many people as we can obtain the promises. We have archived messages back to 1993. Every message I've looked at, it's hard for me to look at what I wore. It's hard for me to look at my hairdo. It's hard for me to... But what's not hard is the message is always one central theme for 22 and a half years. Living righteously and obtaining promises. And see, and that's what happens when we begin to take steps of faith. Our steps are ordered of the Lord, and what do? Your steps of faith, you live righteously and you obtain the promises. Now, let me just tell you what's in this for you. And this is why you came today. I've got a word of the Lord for you in here today. If you're in a place in your life where you've taken that step of faith and you see, but the door's closed in front of you. And see, that's awkward because we're like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a man of God. Man, I'm a faith guy and I've proclaimed that door to be open, yet it's not. The Bible says any door God opens, no man can close. I believe men can open doors for you. I believe when there's a door to you in your life that you can't open, it's within reach, you've taken that step to get there, but it's not open. I believe it's for one single solitary reason, that when you're in that place, rather than getting frustrated, rather than being disappointed, and those are things, I'll tell you, I can be critical of myself all day, so I can't really judge you on that. I'm apt to be frustrated. Man, I roll out of the rack frustrated. I'm ready to be disappointed. But you know what? Rather than let those things take lordship of our lives and dictate our lives, we've taken that step of faith and that door's closed in front of us. And we've all experienced this. We can't get that door open. And I'm telling you, this is the voice of God for you in your life today. The step that you've taken, the place that you're at, put your hand to something. See, that's how this works. There is the only reason that door isn't open for you in your life. If it's something that's not going to harm you, if it's something that's not going to bring issue to your life, if it's something that your desire, it's good. It's Paul was going to Troas to preach the gospel. Man, God had opened a door for him. He was going to preach the gospel, but he couldn't find his peace because Titus wasn't with him. He went to Macedonia, found Titus. Revival broke out. Took Titus to Troas. Revival broke out there. But you know what? He got to Troas, and it's like, God, every bit of my motives, everything is pure and right in my heart, yet it doesn't seem like the door's open. He had to get Titus. But for you, if you're at that door and that door is closed, you have to put your hand to something. And see, that usually happens with seasoned people like you. Man, I'm looking at people that have been here a long, man, been serving God a long time. I know there's some of you guys that have just started serving God. But I'm telling you, don't get frustrated with that door being closed. Man, don't be disappointed with that door being closed. Put your hand to what you can where you are. See, that's how God works. Man, there's something, there's an investment that God's making in your life just by you putting your hand to what you can where you are that's going to propel you through the next door with the next steps that you're going to take toward Him. That's the word of the Lord. That's why you came today. I'm telling you that with full confidence and assurity that this is the voice of God for us today. See, so understand, God's stirring all of us. There's something going on. Let's pray corporately. Let's pray together. Let's make a profession of faith. God, I thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is my answer. God, fill the hole that's in my soul. God, I thank you now. My life will never be the same because Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and whom I trust. I rely upon you, God, 100%. My life's in your hands. God, forgive my sin. Cleanse my iniquity. Heal my heart, God. Set me free. I'm free indeed. God, I thank you that my steps are ordered of you. and my life is a continual walk of faith. My steps of faith put me on an eternal foundation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.